Holland.
Holland. Holland. Never heard anything about Holland.
Peaceful country. Well, peaceful country. Holland is a very progressive country.
Progressive.
Yes, it tolerates almost everything.
Mm. Prostitution, drugs.
Yeah. They have that legalized. Yeah. The red light district. But my mom just came from there and she said, everybody thinks this country is so bad and because we have to work so hard and, you know. And
this country or Holland?
And here.
Oh.
They have a very liberal, like, system, welfare system, or whatever, you know, they give people monies, and, but everyone pays for that, too.
They pay dearly for it.
Yes.
They do, they really do.
Yeah.
They do.
Takes so their freedom away.
I think I read it.
Now, were you talking to somebody? Is somebody else here? Okay.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening.
I don't know if I did that ever in last Thursday's class when Andy was here, if it was Monday night, but I'll just redo it quickly to remind everyone of what's going on. Of course, this class is always going to be called Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. And that is what the main thrust of this is. And it's always going to be God-oriented. So the question that Andy brought up was, oh, we don't talk about the mental equivalent anymore. Well, we do talk about the mental equivalent. We went through the mental equivalent. Everyone should remember the mental equivalent. Just because of the law of cause and effect does not mean that the mental equivalent went out the window. You have to have a mental equivalent of what you want to bring into your reality. And you start that mental equivalent in your own thinking. What's the vision you have? What are you doing? And you build that. Think of the mental equivalent as a mold that you're building, and then the universe pours into that mold and makes it what it is, you see. So Andy wanted to know why we weren't talking about that anymore, because we started to talk about the whole idea. We have all these religions out there. We have all these philosophies out there. And all these different people saying so many different things. But we look at religion and we wonder after all these years, how is it really helping? How is it really helping anybody? I talked to my sister-in-law earlier today, and she's been upset since I was at home because her church is on a fundraising thing. And they want people to pledge money, but they want them to sign a contract exactly how much they will give and so forth, and a binding contract. And she said, you know, with the way our business works, we can't do that. We have peak seasons and we have slow seasons, and we give when we can and we do that. So the minister, she talked to the minister and said, don't stress out. Well, here's the whole thing. Why would churches want to stress people out? You don't go to church to be stressed out. You go to church to find comfort, to find strength, to find meaning, not to be stressed out over the money situation. Why don't they teach these people how to make more money, you see, and how to do it? There's nowhere in the Bible where it said build a church. There is nowhere it said build a church. God is everywhere present, equally present everywhere. Now, it's nice to have those different facades and so forth, but if you're not teaching people how to make money and how to have a good life, then I can't see the point of it. This teaching will teach you how to like yourself. And I think that's the main thing. Churches, and you've all been to churches, how many churches tell you that you're a wonderful human being? How many churches tell you that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? They either take it for granted that you may know that, or they don't mention it, or they tell you the exact opposite. You're worth nothing. You're worthless in the eyes of God. And I'm here to tell you that you are everything in the eyes of God. You see, that God always holds you in the highest of esteem and will always hold you in the highest esteem. But we can't get very far in our own lives and manifest things if we don't know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So when I discovered that that was one of the drawbacks that people had, They go to all the different churches. They go to all these different seminars. They take in all these philosophies. But if you don't know that you're worthy, deserving, totally level and you matter, it just is a bunch of words. It absolutely means nothing. You cannot take it in and make it yours and have it become part of your being unless you realize those four items about yourself. And that's what philosophies, that's what churches, that's what institutions, all these seminars should be teaching people. But they don't. And we started with the mental equivalent because I discovered that what many churches do, especially metaphysical teachings, they take it for granted that people know that. And I call that step one. They start at step two. Well, if you don't have step one, you can't make it work. If you don't know that you need a mental equivalent, if you don't realize that it's your thinking that's causing your life, that what you think about, you bring about. Remember? Henry David Thoreau said, what a man thinks about all day long, he becomes. What are you thinking about all day long? Are you thinking prosperous thoughts? Are you thinking abundant thoughts? Are you thinking healthy thoughts? Or are you buying into the world that tells you you're not enough? The world is always going to tell you that you're not enough, you don't do enough, and you don't have enough. That is what keeps the world spinning. We say what? Money makes the world go round. Money makes the world go round because the world tells you that you have to have something. So they hold that carrot in front of you so that you make more money so that you can buy something. I had a friend years ago retired very young, and she said to me, well, I just decided to retire. She said, what did I need all this money for anymore? She said, to buy more stuff to take it to the dump. And that's what people do. They just keep buying more stuff to take it to the dump. We don't need all the stuff that we think we need to be happy. The idea in life, and it's wonderful to have all this money, but the idea in life is to learn to love yourself, is to learn to be able to sit in the silence of your own being and like yourself, love yourself, and enjoy just being here and being alive. And it's not done with having a lot of material things around you. It's not done with that. But we do need money to bring us peace of mind. But we all live in what's called sufficiency. We always have enough. Our minds just tell us that we don't have enough, that we need something more added to us. And usually we need more money added to us because we have to buy something, we have to have something. So we try to always keep going after what we call the almighty dollar. And if you remember, I've said this before, if you learn these four items, that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter, the money and the rest of the stuff that you want will come to you as a side effect of that, as a side effect of that. But people are trying to buy something all the time, thinking that buying that is what's going to bring the happiness to them, you see. And it's not. It's not going to bring the happiness to them. So we have to know the four items: worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. So we're always going to be doing those. We're always going to be remembering the mental equivalent. And we're always going to, whether I say it or not, this is a God-oriented teaching. Because we know perfectly well that the mind cannot heal the mind. Your mind cannot heal itself, but spirit can. God can heal. And that is what most of the people on the outside, in what we call race mind, they go to therapists all the time. Because therapists believe that the mind can heal the mind. And you know many people who go for 20 years, 30 years, and it's never healed them. It's just talk therapy. But once you realize that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, and that you do have this thing called divinity inside of you, call it divinity, call it spirit, and you can rely on that, you can heal your mind. And you heal your thinking. You heal your thinking about yourself. What are you thinking about yourself? Are you allowing your mind to tell you bad things about yourself? Or are you making your mind stop, and are you correcting that all the time? You have to correct your mind all the time. And we allow our mind to get away with little bitty things all the time. I had a horrible experience myself today. I did something. I raised my hand and hit something. And immediately, I said, God damn you, Dallas. Now, where did that come from? Where did that come from? I had to stop and correct that immediately. I had to correct that. God never damns me. Why would I damn myself? That was that little ego mind saying, you're not enough, Dallas. Look what you did. You bumped your hand into a light fixture, and that's enough to set this whole thing off. You see, you have to recognize that, and you have to be able to correct that. You have to go right back to that center that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. You know, I think they would do that in school every day with the children.
Well, the children would love it.
Not only would they love it, it would sink in, and they would realize that. And, well, we get children doing all this, it's so much better, you know. Because now we have to relearn things at our age, but we can relearn, and we can learn to think differently about ourselves, about the world, about the universe, and certainly about this thing that we call God. It's time to see God in a whole new and different way also, because we limit God all the time, because we take the limits of our own mind for the limitations of God, and God has no limitations whatsoever. And that's what you have to remember, that it's your mind that is limiting everything. Now, so with those things, we're going to remember that we're always God-oriented. We always have to have the mental equivalent, and we have to have the four items going for us. We're always going to be doing those things. Now, I do change the format from time to time, so it's not boring. I'm always saying exactly the same thing. I just say it in all kinds of ways, from all different angles and all different views, so that finally it will hit you in the right way. You see, if I said it all the time exactly the same way, you would never get it. This is a very little clever thing. I have to go skirting around your mind to get things in. You see, and so that's why we change it. So with answering Andy's question, yes, it evolves. Yes, it changes, but we always stay with the main things. So now the other thing that we're changing, this was due to Casey. He said, why don't I just come up with a theme for the month instead of topics? So for the month of November, we're going to come up with the theme that's going to be harvest. Because this is the time of the year when all the work is done. This is the time of the year when we start to harvest what we planted, what we watched grow all through the summer and the fall. Now it's time to harvest that. So what does that mean? What you are thinking in your mind, the projects you're thinking about, all those things, now it's time to start harvesting. You see, many people just keep planting and planting and planting and planting, and they never harvest their crop. So what happens if you don't harvest the crop? It just dies on the vine and dries up. So it's time to start to harvest and say to yourself, huh, I can harvest now. Why do you think you can harvest now? Not only because we're using November as the time when it's traditionally things are being harvested, it's because now you realize that you're worthy, deserving, you totally matter, you see, and that you're lovable. Once you know that now, what else do you need to know about yourself? So instead of putting off your harvest, as most people do, do they know one more thing? Do they have one more thing under their belt? Do they think of, oh, now when the economy clears up, now when I get the lover, now when I get this, now when I get that, then I'll really start to harvest, I'll really start to live. Say to yourself, it's time for me to harvest. It's time for all the things to come home now. This is the time. You've planted the seed. Now it's time to harvest. Now, what do we know about planting a seed? We plant one seed. It grows and it multiplies and it returns to us multiplied abundantly. You're saying. So now it's time to see that abundance coming back to you. I planted my seed. Now it's time to reap the harvest. And many people don't. They just don't bother to even think about reaping the harvest. They just keep thinking, oh, I'll just keep planting these ideas. I'll just keep doing this. I'll just keep doing this. I'll just learn more and more and more. No, now it's time to say to yourself, I can start to harvest. I can start to harvest. If you don't start, you never will. You never will. When I first started this, I said to somebody, well, I'm not prepared for it. They said, when do you think you will be prepared for it? I said, well, I don't know. They said, if you don't start now, you'll never be prepared for it. So if you don't start with what you want, your mind will just keep taking you on and on and on down the road. You'll never get started. Start now to harvest what you want. Start seeing your abundance coming to you instead of putting it off and waiting till next fall for the summer to come or for whatever you're waiting for. Because what do we know? We know that whatever you want is already in front of you. It's already done. Anything that you want is already here. Already done. Good evening, John. This is going out to everybody that you're late.
I'm always in self-responsibility.
Okay. So we have to know that we're ready now to harvest all that we've done, all the planting has been done. And now, everything that's grown inside, it's ready to harvest. And you know that because everything is already done in mind. So now all you have to do is take all the limitations that you've put on yourself away. Those are the filters that you're looking through. So what limitations have you put on yourself? How are you seeing it, you see? What negations come up in your mind? What does your mind tell you? Well, it's not time yet. You need one more thing yet. You see, those are the filters that you're putting in front of you. So you cannot see. If you have enough, you cannot see anything. But it's already there, isn't it? When you remove the filters, it's already there. It's already done. So you've done all the planting. And now it's time to do the harvesting. It's time for you to have what you want. Unless you're planning to live a couple more thousand years or something, when are you going to do it? You see, it's the old thing. If not now, when? If not now, when? And we hear that all the time with people, don't we? Well, I'll do that next week. Or I'll do that next year. Don't wait any longer. Say to yourself, I've done all the planting, I've done everything, now it's time for me to harvest the things that I want. If it's the money, if it's the career, whatever it is that you want, now it's time. But you have to say that, and you have to do that, you see. You're the one who has to say, enough's enough, now it's time to harvest, and I'm starting to harvest, you see. I'm putting everything together now for myself. Otherwise, it's like people who are perpetual students. They just keep learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. Well, what do they ever do with that afterwards? You see, you have to say, now I'm done. I'm finished. It's time to harvest. And then you start to do that for yourself. Because time just keeps passing by. You see? So we can all do that. So whatever you have, whatever you're trying to manifest, know that you've done everything about that. I have a client, telephone client, and I talked to him the other night. He said he was talking to somebody else in person. It was another minister who I happen to know also. Said to him, well, stop doing that. I said, well, I've told you that. He said, yes, I know. What he does is he keeps picking at his treatments. He keeps picking at his affirmations. When I say picking at him, he keeps doing them over and over and over and over. If you keep doing all that over and over and over, you're telling your mind that you don't get it, and you're certainly telling God's mind that you don't get it. You see, If you do an affirmation, you have to know that that's working. That that's working. Robert Bitzer, you often hear me talk about him. He was on his deathbed at one point in his life, and he told me he was so ill and sick that he could not do a treatment. He couldn't even do a treatment for himself. But then he remembered that every treatment that he ever had done was still operating today. Every treatment. So when you make an affirmation, when you do a treatment, you have to know that it's an operation and it's working. You don't keep redoing it. You don't keep redoing it. That's putting doubt. You're saying, oh, God didn't hear me. Or maybe I didn't do it quite right. Or this, that, or the other thing. The only thing you ever have to know about God is to talk to God intelligently. You're talking to intelligence. And when you talk to intelligence, you have to talk to it intelligently. And most people do not talk to it intelligently. What they do is they get mamby-pamby about it. They're very unclear with what they want. And they expect this thing that we call God, this thing we call intelligence, to make something out of it. You know. And God can't make anything out of it. Because if it's unclear to you, it's unclear to God. So always be clear in what you want and state exactly, this is exactly what I want. And then let it go and know that that's working, that that's moving, that that's going forward. But to keep every day down on your knees praying and praying and praying or whatever you're doing, you're saying, oh, God doesn't hear me, God is not intelligent, and this whole thing doesn't work. You see. So know that all the work that you've done, all the affirmations you've done now, they're all the seeds. And now they've grown. And now it's time to harvest them. Bring those in. Bring those in. And use that, you see. It's all done with this idea of faith. And it's all done with believing. Believing in what? Believing in yourself. And believing in God, you see. What's the sense of saying we have a God if we don't believe it? You see? Or if we only believe it a little bit, you see? And most people, why? They only want to believe in God because they're afraid if they die, they may go someplace else. So they think, well, maybe if I believe a little bit in God, I'll be spared, you know? So give that idea up when I say give up some of your belief systems and so forth and get a better idea of God. A better idea of God is that you're always going to be one with God. There's no other way you can be. There's no such thing as hell, and there's no such thing as the devil whatsoever. Those things. There may be negative things out there. There may be bad things out there, but there's no devil out there. There's no anti-something or other going on out there. There is only God, and you're some part of God. And since God is eternal, you have to be eternal also. So you're always connected to God. Therefore, you cannot be lost. There's no such thing as a lost soul running around someplace. So know those things. That's the power that you have to know. And when you incorporate those, you see, it's just re-educating yourself and your thinking so that you can use this teaching. Very simple. Remember I said, I think last week, this teaching always will boil down to one and one thing only. It's always done unto you as you believe. It's always done unto you as you believe, not as I believe, but as you believe. And that's what you have to remember. So, now that you know that, you have to start believing. Remember, you have to believe. God doesn't ask you to try harder. God asks you to believe more. So what are you believing about yourself? Are you believing what the world tells you about yourself? Are you? No, I don't think so. Don't do that to yourself. You have to build an image of yourself. And you have to divorce yourself from any image that you held that was given to you by somebody else. Any image that you manufactured because of where you were born, who you were born into, all that kind of stuff makes no difference whatsoever. Your life would be different. Your life would be different if you were born in different circumstances. But it doesn't mean that you cannot change your life now. You know. If you were born on the Riviera and raised by two lesbians, your outlook would be completely different than it is now. But that's just happenstance. You can change. You can change the way you're thinking. There was a story about the twins, remember? There was one grew up and became an alcoholic and the other one didn't. So they interviewed them and they said to the one who drank, why did you become an alcoholic? He said, because I watched my father drink and I just knew I would drink. They said to the other one, why didn't you become an alcoholic? I watched my father drink and I decided I wasn't going to go there. It's in your decision. It's in your decision. The power of your life is in the decisions that you make. Your life boils down to the decisions that you make. It boils down to the decisions that you make. And then it becomes conclusions. And you become your conclusions. But you can conclude anything. And you can decide anything. So decide what? That you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter. Decide that you are a success. That you are a success right here and right now. That you need nothing added to you to be a success. A success is a feeling that is inside of you. And you have to feel successful. Most people do not feel successful. Get up every day and say to yourself, I am successful. And I feel successful. And then start feeling what success would feel like. You see? And that feeling comes from this area here, not from this area here. So you're not using your head for feelings. You're using your solar plexus. You're using your gut. You're using this area. How do I feel? I feel successful. And then you act as if you were successful. You act as if you were successful. So you get up in the morning. You take good care of yourself. You try to look decent. You try to do all those things to make you feel successful. Because it's done with feelings, remember? Now we'll go back to Emmett Fox and the mental equivalent. It always has to be done with warmth of feeling. A warmth of feeling. So you have to feel successful all the time. With or without the money. But if you feel successful all the time, you will become successful. Money has nothing to do with it. It was Mike Todd who said, I've been broke many times, but I was never poor. He was broke many times, but he was never poor because he made money again. Anyone who can do and make money, lose it. They've lost much more than they have. But they keep going because money is not what the end result is. And so many times we think, oh, the end result is money here. If I have tons of money, everything will go okay. And it won't, you know. We think, oh, if I was very rich, I would have no problems. Yes, you would. You just have different problems than you have now. This thing of thinking you're never going to have a problem, forget it. We're on this plane of action where we have problems. Problems are little challenges. Problems are what keep you moving. Problems are something that you have that you immediately get a problem. You have to know, oh, I have a solution to that. I can solve that problem immediately. And you solve the problem. And you say, thank you for these problems. Otherwise, what would your life be? You see, there'd be no challenge. There'd be no stimulation. You have to keep your mind active on these things. But when you have a problem, you have to know that you have a solution. I think it's the Chinese who say, if you have a problem in this pocket, the answer to that problem is in this pocket. So, you have to know, oh, thank you, I have a problem. I know exactly how to solve that problem. And how do you know that you can solve that problem? Because you're living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. You're having your being in this thing that is perfectly intelligent and knows how to solve the problem. So you just move yourself out of the way and know that that problem is going to be solved. But we like to think, oh, no, it can't be solved. This is a problem. There's no problem that cannot be solved. There's no problem that cannot be solved. There has to be an answer to it. That is an equation that works throughout the universe. Problem, answer. You say you can't have the problem without the answer. You just can't. They always go hand in hand with each other. Well, we concentrate on the problem instead of saying, oh, if I have a problem, here's the answer. And it takes maybe a day, maybe it takes less. How many people have a problem and before they go to bed and when they wake up in the morning, they have had that problem solved? How do you think that problem solved overnight? Your mind's asleep. See? But your subconscious mind continues to work and continues to get information from the universal mind. Universal mind meaning God. So I do a little word puzzle every day. And I look at it first. It's scrambled words. Can't do it. Can't do it. I just look at it. I let it go. Then I come back to it, and the next time I look at it, it's solved for me. Oh, there it is. But if I sit there and effort, rewrite the letters and change them and do this, that, and the other thing, I can fill up a card with them. But if I look at it and go away, and let my mind work on it. When I come back and look at it again, whoops, there's the word. Comes right out. You have to allow this intelligence that's within you to work for you. And we don't let our own intelligence work for us. Because we sit there. How many people sit in effort and effort and effort on a problem? You may have done that in your own life. And then you let it go, and when you come back, it's solved, isn't it? Because you have to let up. You have to allow this thing that we call God, this thing that we call intelligence, to work in as and through you and solve that problem for you. And so I said, well, no. Know that the problem can always be solved. But it can't be solved. And the first time I look at it, but I don't say, no, I cannot solve that. My mind's stupid or I'm stupid or anything like that. I say, I will go away. When I come back, the answer will be there. And the answer is always there. It never fails. But I used to do it the hard way, thinking, oh, I'll sit here till I get the answer. Well, you could sit there days and not get the answer. As soon as you let go and let God, There's the answer. So that's the most fabulous thing about this teaching also. Once you realize that you can let go and let God, that you can trust this thing to work for you and not buy into the different things. Don't buy into that. The fact that perhaps your bank account isn't where you want it to be. You have to look at that and say, but money's always freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. You have to look at it differently, and you have to learn to live in truth, not in facts. And most of us live in facts. So learn to live in truth. Facts will always change. Always change. Truth never changes. It always stays truth. So that's where you want to go to. If you're sick, you have to realize that the health of God is all there is. And it's in you right here and right now. And then the fact may be, oh, I'm having a fever, I'm having this. Merely a fact. You cannot look at the fact. You have to live in the truth. So when you live in the truth, your reality has to shift to that truth. So my body, your body, goes in that direction. If you look at the fact, you go in that direction and you get sicker and sicker and sicker. You see? Don't do that kind of a thing to yourself. Same way with your finances. Don't do that. Know that money is always freely circulating in your life. Don't let your mind say, this is the last job I'll ever have. Oh, geez, my money's running out. Oh, my, I might as well kill myself. Whatever you're saying. No. No. But this thing called God, this thing called the universe, is supporting you. And that there is a sufficiency out there. And now's the time to harvest that sufficiency. Now's the time to bring it in to you or into the barn so that you have it, you see. Now you're saving that, right? You have it protected. Now you can use it whenever you want, but you have to harvest it first. You have to harvest it first. So each and every one of you have been in this teaching now long enough, and I've babbled long enough about all this stuff. It's time for you to say, oh, I know this teaching, and I know this teaching works, and I know now it's time for me to bring in the harvest. And then visualize that, seeing that come in. It's very easy for me because I grew up around farms, and I know in the fall I remember the wagons full of corn and all coming in, you know. It was wonderful to see all that stuff come in. And that was their harvest. All the farmers were harvesting. And we had abundance. So that's what you have to remember. That is abundant. And you are harvesting. So visualize that in your mind. However you want to visualize it. I can see wagon after wagon loaded down with all the bounty that's out there. And this is what you have to see. This is what you have to know. Remember the cars? I never condemn how many cars there are. I hear people all the time, oh, too many cars in LA. I say, more. More cars, please. More cars, please. Because that means abundance, prosperity. You know, why do we want less cars? We don't want less cars. We want less congestion. We want less pollution. But we don't want less cars. And we can have that. You see, we can have more cars. And they will eventually be where they won't be giving out bad fumes and doing all that. We'll eventually have cars. We can have all that now, but that's held up because of fear. See, all the stuff that's going on out there is held up because of fear. Because what will we do then with people? You see, where would these people go to work? How would these people make their money? What would happen to Saudi Arabia if we didn't buy oil from them anymore? Who cares? Who cares? Yeah. We have to give up some of this stuff, you're saying. The old has to leave us so that we can find the new. But for cars, we want more cars. We don't want the congestion. We don't want the pollution. But look at things as abundant. Look at the universe as abundant. And look at the harvest that's going on around you all the time. How many people do you know on jobs that are getting raises and getting this, that, and the other thing? That's abundance, prosperity, including money, but it's a harvest, isn't it? They've now harvest what they're getting. Don't most companies, big companies, have a yearly review? And then at the yearly review, people say, well, I didn't get enough, I didn't get this, they should have given me more. Did you plant something during the year? Did you do your very best? Did you do more than your very best so that when you walk in, you know perfectly well you can harvest what you want and you'll get what you want? And that's harvesting your efforts. That's harvesting your efforts. Always remember that you're in business for yourself. It's Dallas Incorporated. It's Reeve Incorporated, you say. We're corporations of our own. We don't work for anybody else. When I hear somebody say, oh, they work for somebody, blah, 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 I think, oh, how horrible that you work for somebody else. You're always working for yourself. So if you know you're always working for yourself, you're going to do the very good, best job you know how. Then when a review comes up, you know perfectly well that there's not a thing they can say to you, is there? Not a thing they can say because you know that you did the work. But people don't want to do the work, but they want the harvest. And you can't. So you know that you've done your work. You've planted the seed. You've cultivated the seed. You've watched it grow. Now harvest it. It's yours to harvest. But if you didn't cultivate and you didn't do all that stuff and you're vine is dead, so to speak, there's no harvest for you. But you people have done the work. You've done the work. You've done the work merely because you've come here and listened to me. You say, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort. You always have to pat yourself in the back by showing up. You see, your mind can talk you out of coming here anytime. And let me talk about that for a moment. There's a lot of confusion whether we're having these on Monday nights or Thursday nights. We're always going to have these classes Mondays. We're always going to have these classes on Thursday nights. And I am always going to show up. Unless I'm out of town. But the main thing is, even if I'm on my deathbed, I will crawl to this class. If I'm in town, I will come to this class. I would not do that to you. But mainly, I would not do it to me. I would never give in to my mind by saying, oh, you're not feeling well enough to go tonight, Dallas. I would never do that. And many times, I don't feel all that well. But as soon as life's come and start, I feel wonderful. I feel wonderful. And this I'll give my father credit for. When we were children, we very seldom were out of school. And if we said, oh, we're not feeling well today, he would say, why don't you go to school? And if you're still not feeling well, when you get to school, then we'll talk about it or we'll come get you. We got to school and we were fine. We got to school and we were fine. Do not allow your mind to talk you out of things, you say. And that's what we all do. We can come up with many excuses for not being here. And most people, not most, a lot of people, that's what happens to them. Oh, something came on my favorite television program. Oh, no, some this, that, the other thing. And they don't show up. You people show up. You're dedicated. So that's part of planting, cultivating. Now it's time to harvest this stuff that you've done. You say, now it's time. You're just putting this stuff out there all the time. You have to now bring it back. You have to bring it back. You have to bring it back. I tried to explain to Reva one day. The whole idea, and she had never heard this concept, and maybe you haven't either, but there's such a thing, which I call the cosmic bank account. And the cosmic bank account compounds interest. So you have to remember that you're compounding interest. And now it's time to draw upon your cosmic bank account. That is what it's there for, you see. Most people never draw upon it. Most people never harvest. They just keep planting. They never bring it home. They never harvest it. Time to harvest what you want. So when your mind says, oh no, I need to know one more thing, make your mind shut up. You don't need to know one more thing. If you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally level one, that you matter, that is all you need to know. That is all you need to know. You don't even have to believe in God. I know this is just probably 900 people just dropped over when I said that. No, you don't have to believe in God. Why don't you have to believe in God? Because God believes in you. God believes in you. You see? God's not interested if you believe in him or not. God's interested in how are you living your life? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you prosperous? Are you abundant? Do you have what you want? This is what God wants for you. And this is what you want for yourself. So if your mind is telling you that you can't have these things because you don't believe in God, I often hear people come and say, well, I don't have the faith, I don't have the belief in this. Remember, it takes the faith of a mustard seed. You know, everyone thinks, oh my, I have to have the faith of, I don't know what, some big, gigantic thing. You don't need that much faith to do anything. The little faith of a mustard seed. The little faith of a mustard seed is all you need. When I was in school, years and years ago, I think it was in the 19... It may have been right in like 57. Well, I've used that. They used to have little charms with the mustard seed inside of them. They were very popular. Do you remember them? Yes.
I remember them.
Yes, they were very popular. Yes, and I think it was 1957 somebody came out with those. And people, you know, it was a little charm. It had the mustard seed inside of it.
Little glass thing.
Yes, little bubble like with the mustard seed inside of it. Wonderful. I would love to have one today. If anyone finds any. But think of that. Say, I have. There's no way that you people, and I, myself included, don't have the faith of a mustard seed. Is there? Mm-hmm. Is there any, you know? We have that, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. We have to be able to do anything we want. But your mind tells you always you don't have enough. You don't have enough. You have to tell your mind to shut up. You have to say, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. That's what you have to do in life. That's what you have to know. But we think we need one more thing. We're just not enough. In the eyes of God, which we know God doesn't have eyes, but we use that, you're more than enough. You're more than enough. And that's what you have to know. That you're more than enough. And that you do have the faith of a mustard seed, a tiny little speck. You have that. And that's all you need to bring success into your life. To bring success into your life. I want to give you some affirmation. Here is the one. I honor my integrity in all that I do. I honor my integrity. Integrity is a very important part of life, and it's a very important part of your life. When you have integrity, you feel very good about yourself. And you run into people all the time who do not have integrity. And they do not feel good about themselves. So learn to have integrity. Okay? And you do have integrity if you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally level, and you matter. You have to have integrity. Then the other one is, I am a success. You have to know that you're a success right now. Nothing needs to be added to you. You are a success. If you're waiting to become a success, you'll never become a success. You cannot wait. So, I am a success. Aha, what does that mean? That means you're harvesting what you, all the stuff you do, have done up to now. Now it's time to harvest that. Well, I am a success. I'll be darned. I didn't know that. But now I know I am a success. And I allow myself to feel successful. How many people walk around day in and day out and don't feel successful? Don't feel that they've accomplished anything. That their life is worthless, that they're this, that, the other thing. You have to learn to cultivate a feeling of being successful. And that's part of that harvest. You have to harvest that now. So allow yourself to feel successful. And I congratulate myself often. I congratulate myself often. How many people say, oh, thank you, I congratulate you. How many times do you hear me say, pat yourself in the back? Pat yourself in the back for that. Here again, don't wait for somebody else to pat yourself in the back. Pat your own self in the back. Say, oh, my goodness, I've done a marvelous job. I am successful. You see? You have to do that. You have to do that. And that's bringing in the harvest. That's what it's all about now. So during this whole month, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Now bringing things home, bringing it into you, manifesting what you want instead of letting all that stuff out there in cyberspace somewhere. It's time to make it real now. It's time to make it real. So you can stay in this teaching for the rest of your life, and you can make it very esoteric. You can make it very airy-fairy. And you may feel good while you're here for an hour. This is not a feel-good class. It may make you feel good, but that is not the intention of this class. The intention of this class is to make you feel good about yourself all the time, to make you feel successful all the time, to make you feel filled with joy and a feeling of well-being, that you're absolutely delighted to be alive, that you're delighted to be alive, that it's not a stress, struggle, and strain situation with you, that it's a marvelous experience, and that you can solve any problem that comes to you, and you know that. You know that because you're one with this thing that we call God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Red button, press, oh, press the button again.